Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
A TikToker named Noah Glenn Carter. Him and everybody like him. I am so sick of these things. Although I do have to say this made me love Shaquille O'Neal even more because his response was hilarious. I don't know if anybody saw this. This kid, young guy, Noah Carter, he is a TikToker. Whatever the hell a TikToker is.
It's like an OnlyFans model, right?
Well, it involves an OnlyFans model.
They get paid to TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah, they shouldn't. Nobody should. They shouldn't. This is so stupid. Well, talk about OnlyFans model. He goes on TikTok and alleges that Shaq is dating Sophie Rain, an OnlyFans model.
Because he was at her birthday party?
Yes, at her birthday party. And he goes on about how a 53-year-old man goes to a 21-year-old birthday party. I find it very, whatever. And he makes the insinuation, which says they're dating and stuff. And they're both pissed because they weren't. Both of them absolutely said no. But that's kind of, Shaq's response was hilarious. He said, I'm not. He said, but what I will do is I'll date your mom and give you a brother. How about that?
Oofa.
Yeah. He did say that, though. Pretty funny, yes.
We get paid to talk sports.
Yes.
And TikTokers are dumb?
Yeah.
Okay.
They talk about nothing.
All right.
All right. Yeah. You know damn well it's a different thing.
I'm just, I know what, I know.
You go on camera, you say absolutely nothing. You just, you know, say, hey, I think they're
dead. Yeah, man, you don't have me going, hey, doing some stupid ass dance. Like, what the hell is, Jared McCain for the 76ers? He was the one that was real, had all the famous TikToks when he played at Duke. And when he came to the Sixers, everybody's like, oh, this ain't a Philly guy. Because he was painting his fingernails and dancing and doing all this goofy stuff. And they love him now because he can play. But it always
comes down to that. Can you play or not?
Yeah.
Who's your shovel, Jeremy?
My shovel goes to everyone that talks about running on contact. This stuff is pissing me off.
What?
So when the balls hit, Jose Ramirez going back to, what was that? 2 days ago, right? Tuesday, yes. Thank you, Joe. Tuesday, he was on third base, no outs. Next guy up, strikes out. So the next guy gets up, and they have the rule on, you're running on contact from third.
It was the second batter after him, right?
Yes.
I got into a debate yesterday. Somebody said it was the first batter. No, it was not.
First guy struck out.
Thank you.
So people were, like, I heard so many people go, running on contact is so stupid. It's not unless it's hit to the pitcher exactly the way that was. That's the one time.
What made it stupid was that he stopped.
Yeah, he should have kept going and slid.
The pitcher had to go up to get the ball, which means now he has to gather himself and make a perfect throw. He should have kept going.
And you want me to tell you one that makes it worse? That pitcher, Vest, just a week ago had the same exact play and threw it 10 feet over the catcher's head. Like the most routine, I'm throwing it home and the catcher's like, what the hell was that? What is that? You're a pitcher.
Check his FanDuel account. Yeah. He had the over.
But there were so many people that were yelling about it. Like, there were people yelling about the Red Sox bunting with first and second in a tie game late in the game. I know the new age is like, hey, we got to swing away and try to get as many runs as we can.
I'm the new age.
I don't have an issue with the bunt there. He tried to bunt a ball. Like, it was three feet off the plate.
Do I understand it? Yes. I just don't like it. I understand it. It's not bad baseball strategy.
It ended up being a one-run game.
I just don't like it. And For people to say it's bad strategy, it's not. It's a different strategy to what you like.
I like what you said.
You know, it's just, it's a different strategy. That's all.
You don't have to like, it's like what I say about analytics and the whole, hey, we're down two touchdowns, we score, we're going for two on the first one. You don't have to like it, but the math says it's likely to get it done.
Exactly. Yeah. My shovel goes to the lady at Main Street Cigars a couple of nights ago. I didn't give her name because I don't know it, because if I knew it, I would give it. So we talked to Ravens, and we were just talking to General, and I heard her say, I just don't like him. I don't know why, I just don't like him. And I turned around, I said, who? She said, Lamar Jackson. Mm. I said, two-time MVP, arguably best quarterback in the league, highest passer rating in the history of the league. What don't you like about him? I don't know, I just don't like him. When you can't articulate why you don't like someone, it sends up a little warning sign for me, a little warning flag there. I just don't like him.
Just something about Flacco I like better.
And it's funny you said that. You know why, Jeremy? Because later on in the conversation, she said she loved Joe Flacco.
I love it.
There are people that I don't like. You guys listen to the show enough. You know I don't. But I can tell you why I don't like every one of them. I can give you a reason. You may not agree with my reason, but I have. There's no one, Ed, that I dislike for no reason. There's a reason. Now, the reasons may range to petty to serious, from petty to serious,
right,
but they are reasons.
I give you, and I think a lot of stuff with Lamar is racial, because with the hair. Mm-hmm. And people, when you start commenting on people's hair, it looks like Frederick Douglass.
Well,
what that lady said, how he talks and stuff, and all that. But some people just, and this doesn't just go with, you know, black-white issues. The one that sticks out to me, and I'm not a fan of this person, is how people hated Hillary Clinton so much. And I would ask, I'm not a Hillary fan, but I know why. I just never liked her politics. I think she was very, you know, ambitious, a little corrupt. But I would ask, why don't you like her? I don't know. I just don't like her. But why? I don't know.
Her pantsuits.
They just hated her. Hated the woman. And they couldn't answer why. And I think people just do that. They just get something in their head. They don't like the way you look, sound. And like Lamar, I'm going to say most times it's racial. But
That's what I like when somebody says, yeah, I don't know what it is. There's just something about you I don't like. It's your face. It's your face. I just want to punch you right in your suck hole. You know? Like,
yeah.
You've had those moments. But
there are guys like that. Yeah, for sure.
410-583-1057. Suck hole. Speaking of suckhole, World of Stupid at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, we're talking MLB playoffs up next on the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The next pitch, swung on, hit a ton, deep right field, got a chance, gone! Brian Rocchio, Sunday game winner, off the foul pole. Today, game leading, solo shot to the seats in right, and Cleveland's got a 2-1 lead, bottom of the eighth inning.
You know, that's Guardians Radio Network. In less than a week, I heard Brian Rocchio, the least likely candidate, twice. Eventually, he's going to be a likely candidate. That's twice in less than a week. He has been offensively heroic. The Venezuelan is getting things done in that 9 spot for the Cleveland Guardians. They tied this series up. Something I did not expect. I thought the... Detroit Tigers would sweep them yesterday. I thought the Padres would get swept too. Those two Both teams stayed alive.
Yeah.
But Guardians looked good yesterday offensively. Something you really don't expect them to explode like that on offense.
Padres look good. It's some.
Go ahead.
Pitching staff they got there.
Let Ed get this off his chest, because the way I was talking about Lenny Kravitz is he's been talking about Mason Miller in the same, like you said, text. It's the first thing you said to me. Not even good morning. Just see Mason Miller. He was good.
He was incredible. It's incredible.
5 outs, all strikeouts. 27
7.
Pitches.
He struck out 7 in a row.
Yesterday he struck out 5.
I watched the game. He was 3 up 3. How many innings did he pitch?
He pitched 1 2/3.
Yeah.
That's 5 outs.
No, he pitched, I thought it was 7.
Mason Miller?
Yeah.
No, 5 strikeouts.
And then he hit the batter. Right?
I think in the playoffs he has.
Maybe in the playoffs he has 7 in a row, but yesterday
he was 3 up 3. Either way, 3 up 3 down. He struck out the next 2, and then he hit a batsman. But it was, I don't remember seeing a guy throw 103 over and over.
Yeah.
And then drop it to 98 and make you look foolish like the ball's coming at 60 miles an hour.
So, Ed, what it was is he pitched an inning the day before, mm-hmm. and he struck out the side. So he had struck out 8 guys in a row.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
But I saw him strike out the 5 in a row and then hit the batter.
Yeah.
But I was still just more than that. It's his pitching. It's like when you watch something on television and it looks different than everybody else, it's like, that guy's different. It's like, wow. They're all good at this level. And now, especially now in the playoffs, they're all incredible. So it's like,
last night, if you watched, I don't know how much people stayed up late to watch baseball, or if you're watching early, there were a couple things that I thought were really interesting. Aaron Boone gets beat up a lot for not being a great manager, and justifiably. Yeah. So I think a lot of it's justified. Last night, I don't know if you saw it, he was basically calling the pitches and signaling Ben Rice when sliders were coming and when fastballs were coming, whether or not he was using his hand to let you know where it was going and what type of pitch it was. And there was a report on that this morning talking about it. But the big thing that happened last night and what turned the tides in the late game, the Dodgers realized that the Reds pitchers were tipping their pitches.
Yeah.
And they caught it. And you see, like, you see them smiling when they're coming up the bat, and that's when they had the 4-run inning. And it just changed the entire game. And they said they were doing it all series.
Hey, there's another takeaway from the Padres game. Manny Machado matured a lot.
I've said that for a couple of years. He's the leader of that team now.
I haven't seen him speak through an interview in a while. And he sounded like a really polished, mature, grown man.
Yeah.
The way he was self-effacing, laughing, you know, kind of. I never heard him, you know, use like self-deprecating humor. But he was talking about, you know, she said, "Do you think they were going to pitch to you or pitch you?" Well, I haven't really done much lately. So, yeah, I thought they were going to pitch to me. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a different guy.
Yeah, that's his team. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when Fernando Tatis Jr. was acting like an idiot. And he literally jacked him up in the dugout and got in his face about it. And Tatis just stood there and took it and just walked away when it was over with. And you knew by the reaction that wasn't something uncommon for Manny to do, because the reaction wasn't like he was shocked. He listened. And that's because he's become to the Padres what he saw Nelson Cruz do for the year that he was here with the Orioles.
Yeah.
He's become that guy with the Padres.
Yeah, it was obvious when he was being interviewed. It was like, wow, that's a much different guy than when he played here. He was a kid.
Dodgers, Phillies, how you see that one playing out, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, I literally just said to Rob, I didn't pay attention to who everybody was facing and kind of when we had, like, who wins this series and where they go. I was so concentrated on, like, what was going on with these four series. And I didn't realize the Phillies and Dodgers were not getting that in the NLCS, possibly. We're going to get that in this round. Yeah. And, I mean, look, I think once this round ends, all these playoff series we have coming up, this is why you watch the game. You want matchups like this.
Your
premier pitching. You know, we talked about Seattle has, you know, four guys they can go to that you could consider an ace for many teams, even though Castillo's star is fading. But the rest of the guys, just unbelievable. And then when you look at this matchup in particular, we get Christopher Sanchez versus Shohei Ohtani in the first game. And Sanchez has been, he's been one of the best pitchers in the National League that nobody talks about. Or they don't talk about enough, in my opinion.
I don't think they talk about him enough at all. Outside of people who really watch baseball, you don't hear his name come up.
Well, for the longest period of time, you had Zach Wheeler, and then, of course, Jesus Luzardo started off like gangbusters, and it was almost an afterthought because you still had Aaron Nola coming back. It's like, oh, they've got all this great pitching. They do, Sanchez, they're telling you, like, this is the guy we trust the most right now.
They have rest.
Yeah, this would be Zach Wheeler. This would be him. But Sanchez is the best pitcher on that staff right now.
When does the series start? Friday? Or Saturday? It's TBA. So basically, they're going to have at least 5 days off. They could have started anybody.
Mm-hmm. And they picked him.
And they're picking him.
Well, and then, so with this series, though, too, and seeing the matchup, it's interesting to see that Ohtani's going to start game one, so it tells you how they feel about him. That means technically he could pitch three times in this series?
Yeah.
Or depending on how they want to use him, they could definitely bring him in as a bullpen piece.
Now, Joe, you said what happened at the bank last night?
The Phillies held an intra-squad game, and there were 30,000 people there.
Oh.
They get double the amount of people for an intra-squad game the Orioles do for Thursday night.
Yeah, they play Saturday, but it doesn't, as Joe said, it's TBD as far as the time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they do play Saturday.
TBA.
So 6 days off, and they're telling you who they want. They're tipping their hand. This is our best guy. We'll put them out there first.
Do we know if the other games are all going to play on Saturday too, or will they? Do you think?
I think they stagger the next
one. Two and two?
Like somebody Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, I think they stagger the next round.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not putting all of them on.
It's so funny. They do it every year, and then you forget every year how they do it. It's like, is this a 2-3-2, or is this a 1?
This is such a cool time of year, though, because even if you don't have a dog in a fight, I mean, you love to see the Orioles in the playoffs, but this is still, it's fun watching the best guys play.
All of those games were good.
Oh, they're all good. And, I mean, they're really entertaining. They're really good. Just good games. And no matter who you're rooting for.
I think Bud Selig deserves a lot of credit for building this up years ago and setting the standard.
Antonio and Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Well, how are you, man?
Good. Happy Friday.
Friday, babe.
Yeah, babe.
Yeah, babe. What should be the priority for the Orioles in the offseason, starting pitching or closer? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day, too. Starting pitcher or closer.
I'd say bullpen, which I guess you can include with the closer. I think bullpen help is really what they need.
Yeah, they, I mean, look, when you're missing that many pieces, you're definitely going to need to, you got to figure out who your closer is going to be. Because if you find out real quick, I think closers and field goal kickers, when you don't have one, you know it. Like you're like, oh, God, man, this guy can't do this. Just three outs, buddy, three. And I think finding that guy, and whether it's like a Ryan Helsley that hits the open market, you brought up Suarez, the new law firm we could have here in Baltimore with is it Robert? It's Robert right?
Suarez.
Robert and of course,
Albert.
The two Berts, Bert and Bert.
I think Albert's future is in jeopardy right now.
Is it?
Yeah, because he's older and he keeps getting hurt. There's another injury right now, so I don't know what his future with the team is going to be. Let's go to Pikesville and get Jimmy. What's up, Jimmy? Powellsville. What's up, Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy from Powellsville, Northern Harford County. So I'm going to give a late shovel to Rashawn. we love Lamar. We don't want no damn Cooper Rush as our quarterback. You know how much work it is to ride up our horse and buggies down in that stadium and watch football games? We don't want no Cooper Rush, dude. We love Lamar. He can't speak for Northern Harford County.
All right, Jimmy.
All right. Yeah. Next time Rashawn comes to Powellsville, he's getting a Powell driver. We'll be talking that nonsense. But make a left at the Burning Cross.
What?
Couldn't just stop.
Hey, it was. Did I say that?
World of Stupidity.
I think you did.
At 8 o'clock, but on the other side. Dan Orlovsky. Believe the Ravens have lost their identity as a team and an organization as well. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:33 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. ESPN's Dan Orlovsky does not mince words when he's talking about football. He loves football. He's passionate about football. And he speaks his mind. At times I disagree with him, but he's never foolish with it. This is what his take is on this current state of the Baltimore Ravens.
So far this season through four games, the Ravens have lost their identity and they lost their way as an organization, as a football team.
Mm.
They're not physical anymore on either side. Yeah. And Marcus said something yesterday about Derrick Henry's got to get more carries. And I was like, stop, let's not overreact. Going back to last week's Kansas City game, on first and second down, guess how many carries he had over the course of that game on first and second down?
Last week?
Ooh. Yeah. Six.
12?
Oh. Wow.
He carried the ball six times on first and second down.
Yeah.
So I think there's a reality where the Ravens have gotten a little pass happy on offense. Mm-hmm. I love the throw. I love putting the ball in the air. I love being aggressive. But if you look at kind of the carries in comparison to last year and where he is this year, on first and second down, that's where you should be feeding him the football and allowing him to have an impact.
Does anybody disagree with anything that he had to say?
Not really. I mean, that, basically what I hear him saying is he's seeing what we're, well, at least what I'm frustrated by, is the abandonment of the running game way too quickly, way too often. I'm still not going to get over the fact Derrick Henry had 8 carries. It just, you know, he's healthy. The game was, you know, within reach. It wasn't like it had gotten away from them.
But I think what he's saying, too, is even more alarming, that you got first and second down, and you're not even, your defense sucks. You're not even trying to get the clock going by running the football with one of the best players in the league.
Well, they're saying the same, but I'm here. It was just, they were abandoning the run.
Offense and defensive coordinators ought to be on the same page. You know what I mean? You got to be on the same page. You have to, your game has to complement the other person. Your defense is struggling. Keep them off the field. And if your offensive coordinator just calls and plays and not taking that into consideration, then it's hard to win football games that way, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're just throwing the ball, clock stopping, throwing the ball, clock stopping. Meanwhile, you know, you go defense back on the field, and they're not getting any stops. I think it's selfish play calling.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of that, too. Like, if I'm looking at the Ravens, you finally have to come to the realization that the passing offense is just as good as this running game.
It is.
But the running game has more importance because you're controlling the clock and what they can do. And it's also about closing out games, which they've had some issues doing in years past.
Or call some, or run some shorter pass plays, more high percentage. And I'm not saying Lamar Jackson is having a problem completing passes. That's not what I'm saying. But if you want to keep the chains moving, I think your play calling has to help out that defense. The defense is struggling. With 4 games into the season, they are who they are at this point. So do something to help them out. Keep
the
them
less
off the
plays
field.
They have to be out there for is a good thing.
Long drives. You know what I mean? You know, and Lamar has to know that too. You know, you're still getting downfield 80 yards in 5 plays. Man, that's great. Great job. But that may not be what's best for your defense. We've seen that against the Buffalo Bills. Scoring quickly, getting out there. Then all of a sudden your defense is out there getting disposed. The more alarming thing to me is he said the Baltimore Ravens are not physical on either side of the football. Above everything. I think to me that's the cause for the things that you're complaining about, Ed. I don't think the mindset for up top is to play physical, smash-mouth football.
Well, again, I think he's right. Like, have you seen smash-mouth
football? That's what I said. I agree with him.
Me too. I'm agreeing with you and him. I haven't seen it. It's not just that. It's a little worse than that. It's not just you're not seeing smash-mouth physical football, whatever. They're getting dominated. If they were just okay and, you know, and playing a decent game of football at the line, that I go back to that Lions game. They were just getting blown off the ball. They were getting turned any which way the Lions wanted to turn them. They're not tackling. It's both sides of the football. I'm just like,
410-583-1057 is the number. Forest Hill, Luke. What's up, Luke?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
It's very easy to be negative in today's world and in life, so let's be more positive today. Let's say the Ravens go 2-4 or maybe even 3-3. I'm sorry. Yeah, 3-3 or 3-4 into the bye. I want to hear from each one of you. You're the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. You get the majority of guys that are injured back after the bye. What do you guys do on offense and let's even say special teams to prepare this team to go on a
We just kind of told you this whole segment, Luke. We just kind of told you what we do. I mean, Ed and I said be more physical, control the clock, keep the defense off the field. Wait, that's what the whole segment was about. I mean, that's what I do. Everything that we just said. I'd run shorter routes for pass plays to try to keep the defense off the field a little bit more. Because I believe the defense is who they are. Even before the injuries, you had problems on the defense.
Yeah.
This is not just because of injuries. You had problems before the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thing is play more physical football, brand of football, and try to keep this defense off the field.
Yeah, I'd like to see him play more physical football. And again, he's talking about shorter routes. I like to see those routes you see other teams pepper the Ravens with, like the Chiefs. You know, the short tight end chips, you know, just bang, right? You hit him as soon as he bounces off the linebacker. It doesn't take any time. It negates a pass rush. Like, what are we having trouble with now? Protecting the quarterback. Well, if you're not going to get new offensive linemen anytime soon, Ricard's not coming back right now. So, well, how do you do it? You slow them down with these quick pass plays. You see people blitzing, throw to the empty spot.
And we talk about not getting time to throw the football. Lamar Jackson getting over 3 seconds to throw the football.
Oh, he's had time.
So he's holding on to it at least. That's what they said in the follow-up to what we listened to on NFL Live. They actually mentioned Cooper Rush gets the ball out faster than anybody else in the league comparatively.
Probably because
other people
throw into his first read every damn
time. Well, 2.55 seconds. They said Lamar is 3.14, but then Dan Orlovsky says that number's misleading. It's because he's holding on to the ball.
And again, I go back to this. It's the give and take when you have a player like this. He is going to hold on to the ball too long because he's trying to make the big play. And it comes back to the point where you're going to have whatever sport it is, whether it's the big power hitter that strikes out too much, you're going to deal with those strikeouts because he's going to hit you 50 bombs.
And that's why I said be more Aaron Judge, where I'm going to hit 50 bombs, but I'm also going to win a batting title. You know why? Because I know when I can't hit a home run. That's what Lamar has to learn. You can't have a home run on every play. You can't. If you do, then the offense is going to sputter. We want to hear from you, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Is Dan Orlovsky right, or is he being too dramatic? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on
the Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Baltimore Ravens are 1-3 on the year, and it's not just a issue in Baltimore. It's an issue around the NFL because no one had that. No one had the Ravens at 1-3. Maybe 2-2 and things are different, but 1-3, things are bad. This is what ESPN's Dan Orlovsky had to say.
So far this season through four games, the Ravens have lost their identity and they lost their way as an organization, as a football team. They're not physical anymore on either side. Yeah. And Marcus said something yesterday about Derrick Henry's got to get more carries. And I was like, stop, let's not overreact. Going back to last week's Kansas City game, on first and second down, guess how many carries he had over the course of that game on first and second down?
Last week?
Ooh. Yeah. Six.
12?
Oh. Wow.
Carried the ball six times on first and second down. Yeah. So I think there's a reality where the Ravens have gotten a little pass happy on offense. Mm-hmm. I love the throw. I love putting the ball in the air. I love being aggressive. But if you look at kind of the carries in comparison to last year and where he is this year, on first and second down, that's where you should be feeding him the football and allowing him to have an impact.
Is Dan Orlovsky right in your opinion, or is he just being a little bit too dramatic? 410-583-1057. Ellicott City, Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
It's good, fellas. Good morning.
Morning.
I think he gets paid to be dramatic, Rob. There's no doubt about it, my friend. I think the Ravens are going to be one of the biggest stories this year, whether we fall completely on our faces or we rally out of this big hole we've dug. But it's going to be dramatic for the Ravens either way, brother. Hope we win this football game, though.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
What?
Well, it's kind of, didn't really have an opinion there.
Yeah, I kind of don't think he understood the assignment.
Well, maybe he called it and he had different things he wanted to talk about. They ain't like this is your show. Oh, wait a minute.
He called, thought about what he won.
That's fine.
That's not what he said.
Kevin calls all the... Kevin, call anytime and talk about whatever you want.
I only like Kevin. That's not the point. Just so you might understand.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. It's going to be a national story around sports when the Ravens aren't good.
It is. I mean, you see them on the national, you know, sports shows now every day, and not in a good way.
The networks are probably thinking, come on, man, we got these primetime games with you guys, man.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we got real primetime games with you guys, not just the Thursday night football games.
And Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Don't make us flex you.
Making us work Black Friday. You can't even
don't even say that. Don't say it.
What?
I just nothing pisses me off more than that. That's my holiday.
I know it is. Yeah.
Nothing pisses me off more than
just because it's Black Friday doesn't mean it's your holiday. No, everybody gets
Thanksgiving is my holiday.
Oh.
But it's true. It's really
that's my holiday, man. That's the only holiday I care about.
Oh, because of Thanksgiving. You don't care about Black Friday. You're not out fighting people for the one TV in the back.
No,
tickle me elbow.
No. Thanks. I love Thanksgiving, man. And you just, when you have to come in the next morning, it kind of takes away from my Brook Lottie drinking. Let's go to Tyler in Baltimore. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, man. How you doing? I apologize for calling last week and messing up you guys' phone call segment.
All right.
I just wanted to say that how do you just lose physicality? I'm not disagreeing with him, but it's like, how do you just wake up and not want to be physical and not go out there and put your effort into that, like, on both sides of the ball? Like, I was watching that Detroit game, too. I'm like, yo, there's no way to get blown up like this.
Tyler, have you ever coached?
No, but I played.
Okay.
I'm wondering, it's like, do they lose faith in their coaching? And then they're like, man, I don't.
Doesn't coaching somehow or sometimes promote physicality and how you run practice and the play calling? That sometimes promotes, and I think that's what Orlovsky is saying, they lost their identity. To me, that's a from-the-top thing. You know, we heard Rashawn call in and say they're soft in practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you're soft in practice and your play calling is soft, then that's probably why you are no longer physical. That's where it comes from. Physicality is something that's taught. You know what I mean? From the way you operate from day to day. Eli Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just want to say, Dan talking about running, but you know we got a problem because he's like, he wants to throw the ball like all the time.
Yes, he does.
Like, y'all gotta run the ball. That's an issue. Like, I think, and another thing, like, if they're not practicing hard, then they're not going to play hard. So if Rashad was right, like, if they like playing soft in practice, like, that's going to translate to how you play in game. So they got to figure that out, and that might be on Harv. Y'all take it easy.
That's what I'm going to ask Preston when he comes on tomorrow. Are the practices physical? I know they can't hit and tackle. Are you promoting that kind of physicality?
Yeah.
And Ed, you know you can promote physicality without beating and banging on one another every play.
I mean, other teams somehow manage to be physical without, you know, going live in practice.
I was just getting ready to say that, like, with the rule enforcements that we've had on the defensive guys and making things easier on offense, I think physicality is a little bit more difficult, but it's not impossible. It's not like it's not like it just goes to the wayside. And I agree with what some of the callers are saying. It starts on the line on both sides.
Yeah,
I mean, that's where it has to start, because if you're keeping Roquan clean on the other side, good things are going to happen. If you're keeping Lamar clean and the running backs clean, good things are going to happen. Yeah.
Let's go to Shiloh in West Baltimore. What's up, Shiloh?
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Hey, look. Hey, look, I just turned the radio on, man. Hey, look, I'm going to try to jump on the subject real fast, right? Man, you know what, man? He might be on something. Alaski might be on something, though, Rob. But let me ask you a question real fast, right?
Could you make that turn so that blinker could stop?
I could. Well, okay.
At least he has it on.
Look, if I can hear the bell, you can hear the blinker, right? Hey, Rob, real fast. Look, real fast. Hey, look. Let me ask, Ron, look. I hear what he's saying, but it's some truth to him, right? So that's why I say, let me go back to Hobbs, right? Hey, man, Ron, for real, can you just ask this one question?
Yes, sir.
I'm serious about this one right here.
I know.
what is it going to take to get Hobbs out of here, man? I mean, seriously, I ain't trying to make no joke.
He has to lose. He has to lose the locker room, Shiloh. That's what has to happen.
Hey, Rob, real fast. Come on, man. It's the writing on the wall, man.
I don't know if he's lost the locker room, Shiloh.
He missed two bells.
You don't. I don't know. I missed two of them.
Yeah,
I'm my fault, man.
He hey Rob to hey Rob. You missed it.
I don't know if he lost the locker room yet, though. Lee in East Baltimore. What's up, Lee?
Good morning, gentlemen. Orlowski is exceptionally right. And the problem that I have with it is John Harbaugh sees the same thing and never does anything about it.
Hey. Hey. All right.
There's a lot of people that feel that way.
Yeah. John McClain will be joining us at 9 o'clock to talk all things Houston, Texas. But you know what, gentlemen? Let's call it audible. Let's keep this thing rolling. Folks want to talk about this. We'll move World of Stupid to 8:15. We'll keep on this topic right here, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.